Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 328 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So it's the last Tuesday of the month. It's the very end of August, and that means something around here these days because we have a series that we're calling House Rules for Fill in the Blank, and they have been landing on the last Tuesday of the month. So you know how much I like a regular cadence around something.
Do you want to know something funny? I had no idea that was when we were doing them. No, I just thought it was totally random. I had no idea that we were doing them the last. I didn't know that.
It's okay. You learn something
new every day, even in your own business. Sometimes.
And your life is no more or less meaningful for that knowledge. But it is kind of nice that it's worked out that way. And then now we're running with it.
So the House Rules episodes have landed on the last Tuesday of the month. Is that now a house rule?
That is our house rule. It's the Mom Hour house rule. Until it isn't.
Arbitrarily, they have to land there unless we decide that we want them to land somewhere else because we get to decide because we're the moms. We're the moms of this operation, right?
Or we decide. Yeah, exactly. Or we decide we're done with this series, which is, you know, sometimes happens when you've had a podcast for 6.5 years. You know, you start these little series and then you like they ebb and flow. But these have been really fun. And if you're new around here, or if this is your first House Rules episode, this is really a crowdsourced, community generated experience. And we love that because you all are the ones with a bunch of little kids right now. And our kids are getting older. And there's so much wisdom in our community and so many smart moms out there making life easier on themselves. And a house rule is basically a shortcut or a shorthand or maybe a hack or maybe a mantra. But it's something that kind of solves a problem or makes an otherwise stressful thing a little less stressful. And the beauty is that house rules are very idiosyncratic to your family. They can be very arbitrary, and they're often solving a problem that you have in your house. Maybe someone else has in their house, but not everybody. So this is a buffet. You take what works for you and you leave the rest. And Megan, your job and my job are just to highlight, you know, the brilliance of our community, which I love.
Yeah, this feels like really light lifting for us because you all are so smart. And so I just want to encourage if anyone out there has listened to a few of these and hasn't been involved in them yet, jump in with your thoughts and ideas because we love sharing them. Like there's, even if we both still had little kids and we were both still in that phase, there's still things we would not know that we, because you guys are just like really smart. You come up with like really great ideas and they're not always going to be the same ideas we'd have. And some of these rules are not things I would ever have, put into play in my own home, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate how wise and clever and just like how they solve a problem maybe that mom had.
Exactly. It's the ingenuity and the resourcefulness.
Yes.
That's so fun to celebrate. And of course, today the topic is mornings and specifically making mornings easier because they are sometimes not so easy. And Megan, we can't even add personal color about mornings because your kids are not in school yet as we record this. And mine literally had their second morning of school today. So in terms of the 2021 fall, like I don't know what our mornings look like yet. So
I do have a memory. I wrote an essay or a column or something. Remember when I had a newspaper column when my kids were really little?
I do. I didn't know you then, but I know
you didn't know me then. That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't even have Clara yet, but I remember writing about my kids trying to get, that was when I had 4 little boys, 2 of whom were school aged, trying to get them out the door in the morning. And I called Isaac. I'll never forget. I said he was like a turtle on psychedelics. And that's all that you need to think about. When it like, just, I had a very clear memory of him standing at a wall. Like with his face like 3 inches from the wall, just staring at the wall while I'm running around like a maniac trying to get everyone out the door. So
my gosh.
I haven't been there for a while, but I do remember what that's like.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have lots of genius house rules to unveil to you, to shine the light on. So we're going to take a break and we will dive in when we get back. okay, friends, the kids are back in school and I'm back to walking outdoors for exercise, but it's still really warm here. So I am loving my Adore Active sneakers from our sponsor, Vionic. I wear them without socks and they're really breathable and super cute, of course. So you could say I have an extra, extra spring in my step these days.
Okay, I also got the Adore sneakers and I'm basically living in them these days. But here in Michigan, I've got to keep one eye on the forecast because fall is right around the corner. With boots and booties, sneakers, slides and heels, Vionic has a beautiful collection of fall shoes in rich colors and comfy textures, all with their podiatrist-designed footbed for that three-zone comfort we love.
I mean, this is the thing with Vionic, Megan. Every single shoe is so comfortable that you're not dying to kick it off the second you come in the house. Vionic has you covered from the ground up this fall and every season. And we've got a great deal for you all to try out Vionic as you transition from summer to fall this year. You'll get free shipping when you order at vionicshoes.com/themomhour and use the promo code themomhour. Again, that's vionicshoes.com/themomhour and use promo code themomhour for free shipping. We are welcoming back our sponsor, Apple Vacations, today. This is your one-stop shop for a truly next-level vacation, friends, because they're going to help you plan your entire getaway with confidence from start to finish. We're talking personalized service and exceptional values. Plus, you can choose from a variety of gorgeous destinations like Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, Hawaii, and the continental U.S.
We know it can be really overwhelming to plan a vacation. It seems fun at first, but the next thing you know, you're down a rabbit hole of flight options and you haven't even started looking at hotels. And as moms, sometimes it's nice just to hand over the mental load of planning to someone who can help fit all the pieces together.
Each all-inclusive Apple Vacations package includes round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, meals, drinks, entertainment, and tips. And right now, for a limited time, you can use promo code SAND75 and take $75 off your stay at Live Aqua in Cancun or Punta Cana. Just look for the link in our show notes or go to applevacations.com/mom-hour to get this steal of a deal to your favorite Live Aqua resort today. All right, Megan, we're going to dive in. And as is very common with advice about making mornings better, it doesn't start the morning of, it starts the night before. This is not groundbreaking, should not be groundbreaking news to anyone. We've all heard this advice. And actually, like a third of the rules that were submitted, and this time they came in via Instagram, were about prepping the night before to make a smoother morning tomorrow. So if that's all you take away from this, turns out there's a reason that is oft given advice.
Because it is.
It's good.
Let me just quickly, lean in on last week's episode about energy patterns. Mm-hmm. Just to quickly say that, like, I feel like your miles may vary on how effective your prep the night before would be. You might actually want to prep the afternoon before, mm-hmm. because I'm just thinking about people who, like you've said, you're pretty useless after, 7 o'clock or something, Sarah. So you probably wouldn't want to put yourself in a position of doing a lot of decision making in the evening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But you might also find that you are like me and you have more energy in the evening. And this is like an amazing way for you to get in front of the morning when you have less.
Right. And I would add to that too, the whole doing things the night before relies on your ability to enforce that. In my house, I can see a slippery slope where I say that lunches need to be packed the night before, or I can say that the backpack and the folders need to be lined up the night before. But if I don't enforce that, and I'm a pretty good boundary enforcer with my kids, but if I don't, it's kind of on me when in the morning we're scrambling around. And that, I would say that's true of most house rules. Like, you got to pick the ones you can stick to, because otherwise it's very confusing for your kids to have all these house rules that nobody's actually following. And I think no time is that more true than in the morning. So if it doesn't feel like it's serving you to line everything up the night before, there's no need to do it. But if you do it, I guess. There's my nugget of wisdom. So,
okay. So on that note, I want to choose my very favorite out of this list. And that is Ashley, who sounds like a real hard butt on this, but I love it.
She says,
I refuse, all caps, to sign any permission slips, reading logs, or whatever else needs a parent signature in the morning. It may sound harsh, but my kids know to ask the night or day before. Mornings are too chaotic to be hunting around for a pen that may or may not work. And also just disrupting your flow. That's my addition. You've got a million other things. Maybe you've got a baby who's like, you're trying to get dressed and the last thing you need to worry about is that. So I just want to share that I had kind of my own version of that that I didn't actually intend to set as a house rule, but accidentally became one when my kids got older. And that was that if they wanted me to sign something in the morning, they had to bring it to me with a pen and a book or folder.
Oh, that's so smart.
While I was still in bed. Like, they had to do it before I even got out of bed. So we're talking like more like older kids and middle schoolers. Yeah. And they had to turn my light on for me. Had to come in first thing, and they had to present me with all of the supplies to make it happen. That would never work with a second grader, but it would work with a seventh grader. So yes. Ashley, I'm so on board with what you're saying here. Like, you just can't be responsible for that first thing in the morning. There's too much else going on. But I would also say that if they're like kids who are maybe getting up a little earlier than you anyway, because they have a really early bus or whatever, you can create, like, it can be required to come to you.
Yes. With the implements. It reminds me of like when you watch The West Wing or anything about a president and they have to come to the president because he's sleeping. It's the middle of the night, but they bring like the advisor and like the expert and the thing that he's got to sign and the phone, and they bring it all to him. So you were like the reigning monarch. And
or like, yeah, like royalty shows. Like they literally come to your bed in the middle of the night. You just like sit up with your nightcap on and, you know, assume the position and get out your little writing desk, like your little lap desk, and you get out your quill. And so that's kind of how I always saw myself, minus the nightcap and the quill.
Well, I also, Ashley, think that's so genius. And I also love anytime a mom can declare a personal policy. So like her policy is, I'm sorry, children, I don't sign things in the morning. You're not punishing the children, and you're setting a boundary that's really only about you. And if you stick to that, they will learn that they have to do it the day before, or they have to bring the pen. On a similar note, Sarah had a very simple rule that I feel like I could have used this one. And it has to do with choosing things, like choosing what you want for breakfast, what you want for lunch, choosing what shoes you want to wear. If you want a choice in whatever those items are, it has to be chosen the night before. If you don't choose the night before and it's the morning, it's fine. No big deal. But guess what? It's mom's choice. So children get to choose if they choose the day before. Mom gets to choose if it's in the morning. That is so simple to me. And what I love is it's not really punitive. There's no children who are going to be harmed in the enforcing of this rule. It's very, very simple. If it's important to you that you have this sandwich cut this way, put in this bento box, then let's do that the night before. Otherwise, it must not be that important to you, and I will do it for you. I will choose in the morning. And it's also it's so obvious in terms of time management. We don't have time for those choices in the morning. So I love that
much. And I like, you said a boundary, and I think that it really reminds me of something that will serve them very well in work and in other things in the future, which is the old adage that your lack of planning is not my emergency. So how many emergencies do moms, like fires, do moms run around putting out that aren't our fires? Like, someone else created those fires because they didn't plan or it wasn't really that important to them. So we're making something that's not really important to them super important to us by prioritizing it, when really, if it's important to them to choose or to have you sign something or whatever else it is, then they can also be part of the solution.
Yes.
So I don't think it'll take too many times of holding that boundary for the kids to learn. Either they care or they don't.
Yes.
And that's their choice. They don't have to care. But if they do, you can't care more for them than they care for themselves.
It's that beautiful division of responsibility. And I'm so on board for it. So some of the prep ahead rules were even about the weekend. And so I can see this being really helpful for big and busy and potentially like two parent working outside the home families. So Cassie said that breakfast, lunches, and outfits are actually chosen for the week on Sunday. And then she said the fewer decisions that are made in the morning, the better. So it's the same idea, but it doesn't have to be just the night before. If you feel like you're just like we could prep food for the whole week, you know, on a Sunday, you can do your future self a favor and teach kids to do that prep on the weekend and then just fewer choices in the morning. So I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to rules that were more about getting dressed and getting hair done and teeth brushed. So we got a ton of good ones all in this vein about getting physically ready in the morning. And we talked about laying clothes out the night before. And a lot of people talked about getting dressed or even getting your shoes on, getting all the way ready before breakfast or before like the next thing. So Megan, why don't you take it away with a couple of your favorites?
Yeah. So I just want to point out, when I'm reading these tips, the first thing that comes to mind is, wow, there is so much activity happening in a normal, you know, in your typical family getting ready for whatever they're doing that day, daycare, school, work, whatever. Like, there are multiple trips to be made to bathrooms.
Yeah.
There might be two floors involved, like upstairs, bedrooms, bathrooms, downstairs. There's lots of different clothing items that have to be dealt with. And then you've got kids with like different personalities and abilities to manage their own time. So I just want to acknowledge, like, reading these tips is just really bringing it home. Like, what a circus.
Yeah,
it truly is. It's a lot, right? So Laura says, in her family, the kids have to come down to breakfast with socks on. I love that, but I'll tell you why in a second. And teeth brushed, and they're sent right back up if it isn't done. So Sarah, how many times in your household have kids shown up, you know, maybe dressed from like the waist up, you think everything looks great, maybe even they're clothed, right? And like, they're eating and everything seems good. You can see the backpacks are packed. You think you've got time. And then you're like, okay, time to go. And then you look down at their feet and there's no socks on. And then magically no socks can be found.
Right.
Right. So like, socks are like the linchpin to the whole deal. If there's no socks, the whole operation pauses. It screeches to a halt. So I love that, because the socks really, without socks, there's really no progress. So I love that. And honestly, Laura, had I enacted that when my kids were smaller, they probably would have left with mismatched socks much less often, but we're not going to talk about that right now, or bad breath, whatever they were doing. I don't know. So then she says, after breakfast, they can just head right out the door. Also, and this is a tip coming right from our own hearts, they wear their tomorrow clothes to bed the night before. No PJs in our house. And that is something I didn't always do that with school-aged kids who were wearing like jeans and things to school. But in the summer, that was always like a big thing. Even if the kids were going to camp, they slept in the clothes they were going to wear the next day. And as she says, it eliminates so much foot dragging and so many opportunities for distraction and dispute in the mornings. Now, I will say, sometimes I would have my kids go to bed in their underwear and shirt that they were going to wear the next day and then just put their jeans or khakis on in the morning. So depending how your kids actually dress for school, possibly putting them to bed in their school clothes wouldn't work. But I have no problem with clean kids in clean clothes, getting into a clean bed and rolling out clean the next day and just coming down. All they got to do is find their socks.
Just find the socks, people. Yep. Just put on the socks. Oh my gosh.
Love it.
Okay. I have to discuss this one, Carol. This is another one that is such a good boundary for mom. So for her 9-year-old, she says, I will do your hair if you come to me with the brushes and the elastics. So there we go, with the implements, before 8 a.m. Otherwise, you have to do it yourself. So again, do you find the parameters, or like the way that it works for you, and you are happy to help? And if it's after 8 a.m. or you don't come with the implements, then you can do it yourself. So I loved that one.
It's kind of like, come with me, your fountain pen.
Yes.
The lab desk and the fountain pen and the parchment.
Yes. And turn my light on.
The bill I need to sign.
Gradually.
And light my candle. Light my oil lamp.
I will say that hair, we had a lot of house rules about hair, and we could probably start a thread in the Facebook group or something. My girls, or my long haired children, who happen to be girls, I should say, because one keeps her hair quite short. They're low maintenance with hair. Like, we just didn't do a lot of hairstyles, and they don't care about me helping with hair. And what's funny is I love to do hair. I love ponytails and some French braids and some half up. And it's just never been a big part of our morning routine, because they've either wanted to wear it down, keep it short. And so I will. Yeah. I mean, hair is not a thing for us. And it's weird because I have 3 children with hair.
Well, I also have children with hair. And I would say that I really thought my daughter would want me to do a lot more with her hair. And she really has resisted me doing with her hair. So I almost kind of had almost like the opposite of what Carol's suggesting. And like, I had to be more proactive about not letting her do her own hair.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like your family is your family, and maybe they're going to be a little different. Like, that's why all these rules are so adaptable to whatever is going on for you.
Yep, absolutely. And just a common theme from that whole, like the whole getting yourself physically ready, I would say the vast majority of house rules we got said something like, you can have breakfast after you are fully ready for the day. And I will say we did that in our house as well, because eating is important. In fact, we did an entire episode about breakfast recently that we can link to. But it is very hard to rush the getting ready and the finding of the socks after breakfast, and vice versa. You can always like take a half a bagel in the car or on the bus or something. So I think that's a general consensus among our community. So, well, let's talk a little bit about morning screen time, because this was another hot topic that we got a lot of house rules and tips about, and a lot of different variations, but definitely limits or delaying the screens until certain things were done. So I don't know. Do you want to shout out a couple, Megan, or give some general commentary?
Well, I think that kind of what I'm reading is a lot of like no screen time until. Like, mm-hmm. no phones until you get dressed, do your bathroom stuff, and eat. That comes from, I believe, Bohana. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Or Leah says no screen time until after breakfast. That way she can drink her coffee in peace. I love that. I want to flip that around really quick to say, in my household, I remember, and, you know, because my kids are older, screen time looked different when they were little. It was more like putting the television on for cartoons or whatever. I actually found that to be better leading up to breakfast and then turning it off. So my rule was always no screen time after breakfast, because mm-hmm. after breakfast was when we had to get serious about getting out the door. Mm-hmm. And I would find that if I allowed them to drift toward the screen after breakfast, then it was just a complete like downhill, like it would just dissolve. The morning yeah. would just kind of fall apart. But sometimes I would sort of use screen time as a gentle entry into the day, yeah. keeping in mind none of my kids were super eager beavers to be up in the morning. And I liked to be able to have them sitting up, you know, mm-hmm. awake with their eyes open, maybe holding a Banky or like, I don't know, snuggling a teddy on the sofa, but me to not have to be like on my A game right away. So I feel yes. like you can flip it one way or yes. the other.
I totally think I was going to ask you, because you're pretty relaxed about screen rules, and that's what you've shared on the podcast. How has this played out with teenagers with phones? Like, do you have any teenagers who are like walking around in the morning, like you said, a turtle on psychedelics, only the iPhone version of that? Like, have you ever had to be like, dude, you're going to miss your bus if you don't like, or have you ever had morning video games be a problem, or is it just sort of case by case?
So no, interestingly, that has not been an issue in my house. And I think it's because, well, I think it's partly because my kids are very efficient with their morning time. They're not early risers. They're early enough risers. They're just, mm-hmm. they're like very functionally, they get up exactly as early as they need to and no mm-hmm. earlier. So yeah. they know when they get up, there's no time to waste and there's no time to be lost. So I've never seen any of them try to play a game first thing in the morning before school. It's more like, how much time can I give myself to walk out of my house with my hair as clean as it needs to be? And depending on the age of the kid, you know, that may vary or whatever, right? They kind of just budget their time very efficiently in the morning. It'd be more likely at night that I'd have to yeah. like shut it down. Yeah.
yeah.
So, no, but I could totally see it being a problem. It just, in my house, the way that we are, it has not been.
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. Well, I have to talk about this next section, in that this is a way to use technology to your advantage in the morning. So like, so many people were saying no screens till after breakfast, or we don't do screens at all Monday through Friday in the morning. And then there were some very smart ways to use things like Alexa or Google, or alarms or timers to move things along. And I'm laughing because I was this person. We have Sonos in our house, and Sonos, you can have regular songs that come on or a playlist that comes on at a certain time of day. And I totally did this when my kids were like, I'm going to say one in preschool and two in elementary school, or maybe even earlier than that. And it worked for a time. And this was Mel who had the idea to have Alexa play a certain song that means it's time for breakfast. And then another song means it's time to get shoes on. And I mean, you can set all this up, and I love it. It's so awesome that we can use technology to do this. But I have a funny story that after a while, whatever song that came on that meant, it meant that you had like 5 minutes left and then we had to get in the car. It wasn't even like super urgent. And it just read my sweet one, who has trouble with like transitions and doesn't like things to end. It ended up being like basically a panic attack every morning. And I was like, okay, we're done with like the morning playlist, musical cues to move us along. But I think the technology is so smart. And I am so glad people are using these smart speakers in this smart way.
Well, can I date myself here really quickly?
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk about college really quick, which was several decades ago for me. And Jenna was my roommate, my sister-in-law, Jenna. And we had what at the time was high technology. We had a cassette alarm clock.
Ooh, nice. Wow.
And I know. So you got to choose the song you were going to wake up to. And we had it set to play Pump Up the Jams, Pump It Up While the Streets Are Pumping. I don't know if you know this song. It was, I don't know, well, probably from 1992 or three. And so now when I hear that song, which I don't hear it that often, but it's got a very like recognizable hook, like dun, 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 dun. It's just really recognizable. If I hear that like at the grocery store, I have an immediate flashback to waking up earlier than I wanted to for college, like for classes. And like that panicky feeling of like, ugh, I got to get moving. So it's both a great feeling and also it's like an association I will literally never shake. It's been 25 years. So.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. Well, I'm actually a big fan of this. And I bet there are lots of families using this. I mean, I was probably doing it 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, and the technology's even gotten so much better. So I think it could be really fun to choose the playlists and choose the songs and use music and technology to move your life along in the morning. So I love it.
Well, there's like there's nothing you can't do now with that technology. I mean, you could really you could automate your life to a degree that you could have it like the music you want to hear for every phase of your day. I think that's awesome. I wish I'd had that. I wish I hadn't been Pump Up the Jams. I probably would have chosen something very, very different.
I'm just
gonna, cassette we had.
Next time that we're in a hotel room together, I'm going to set our phone alarm, to come on.
And you just watch me. I'll probably sit up like out of a dead sleep straight up like, what? Did I miss biology again?
I'm not ready for the final. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we've got some more house rules that help with the breakfast routine. So we'll be right back.
Sarah, it's that time of year again. Back to school, back to routine, back to whatever good for you habits that we might have let slide during the summer.
I am so here for this, Megan. And our sponsor, Ritual, makes taking care of yourself so easy. Ritual's multivitamins are clean, vegan-friendly, and formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. I love that with Ritual, I don't have to worry about sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, or artificial colorants. Just 9 key nutrients that are really easy to take.
Yeah, Ritual vitamins are taken in just 2 small capsules a day that go down really easily, and there's a mint tab in each bottle to combat that fishy aftertaste you may have experienced with other multivitamins. Plus, I love how pretty they look on my bedside table. Ritual vitamins show up at your door monthly with free shipping, so you don't ever have to worry about running out. And you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. We've got a great deal for our listeners. We're going to help you get 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/themomhour to start your ritual today. Again, that's ritual.com/themomhour for 10% off during your first 3 months. Sarah, I think it's safe to say that things are really weird in the world right now, and we are constantly hearing from moms who are worried about how their kids are handling stressful life events. If you and your family fit that description, you're definitely going to want to check out our sponsor, Raising Resilient Kids. It's a new book full of research-based ideas for raising healthy, happy kids who thrive despite adversity through 8 simple practices that promote longevity and contentment.
Raising Resilient Kids is a step-by-step guide to shaping and strengthening a child's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. It offers ideas for how to help kids find their passions and purpose, strategies for reducing negative stress and boosting happiness, and even tips for winning over picky eaters who resist new routines. And we've got a great deal for you. Visit momhourkids.com to get 30% off your copy of Raising Resilient Kids when you use the code MOM at checkout. That's momhourkids.com for 30% off with code MOM. Okay, we're back. And we did an entire episode a couple weeks ago about breakfast. And it was almost embarrassingly light on actual recipes and suggestions and more just, I don't know, Megan, it was like you and me saying you don't have to do breakfast like you see it on the TV commercials and your kids will be just fine if, you know, they have a piece of toast every weekday morning. That was the extent of our breakfast advice.
But we didn't have really like anything groundbreaking there, but, you know.
No, but it's more than just like the nutrition and what to serve. You also got to like, you got to get everybody out the door in the morning. Right. So I have a funny house rule from my own house that developed since we've moved into this house in the last year. We have this chair. I don't know if you remember when you visited, but it was a hand-me-down recliner that was given to us. It was like on its way to Goodwill from a family friend. And we had so little furniture that we took it, and it's gone from, it was actually in good shape then. It's now, it's so, you know how you have a piece of furniture in your house that just grosses you out? There's nothing wrong with the chair. It's just the kids, like, they lay all over it and they put their shoes on it. And it like, I feel like it smells like dirty children. So anyway, that's the gross chair. The gross chair will live there until I have something else to put there. But for now, it's just like, it's just there. And they come out, they wander out in the morning, especially Reed and Allegra, the older two, and they'll climb into this recliner and they'll recline it all the way back. And they're just like, they're in that still kind of not totally awake phase. And they'll be like, I'm hungry. And I made a rule. I said, I have a new rule. I was like, I'm happy to feed you breakfast. I talked in that episode a couple of weeks ago that I'm a pretty good short order cook in the morning. I don't mind helping popping toast in, scrambling eggs. Like, it's not that at all. I'm happy to serve my children breakfast. But the arbitrary rule in our house is that you can only request breakfast when sitting upright at the kitchen counter, and you have to specifically ask for a certain type of food. So you cannot, and the ugly chair is only like 4 feet from the kitchen counter. It's right there, but it's the way they, it was like so rude to me. I mean, they didn't mean to be rude, but it felt so like just rude to lay back and be like, I want breakfast. I'm hungry. And so the arbitrary. And so I will say now, they'll still do it. And I'll say, I'm sorry, I don't take breakfast orders from the ugly chair. You need to be sitting upright at the counter.
From the ugly chair.
Yeah. I cannot hear breakfast requests when given from the ugly chair.
Do you ever wonder when you make those, like, I don't know, demands or requests or whatever? Like, I'm just thinking of the ones about, you know, please bring me my quill.
Yeah.
And my lap desk, or like, you, I will not take demands from the ugly chair.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, what kinds of messed up literature or like movies our characters could wind up being in the future, because it makes us sound capricious.
Yes.
You know, like we're petting a tiny dog and saying, I'm sorry. Yes, but I will not. At the same time, them lounging in a chair, like lifting their feet so you can vacuum under them, you know, going, Mumsy. Yes. Mumsy, dear. You know, it's the same. Like, nobody wants to feel taken advantage of. Nobody wants to feel unappreciated. I love boundaries. It kind of makes me laugh thinking about it a little bit.
And so they'll slink over and they'll sit in the counter chair. And then the second part of the rule is, you have to ask me for, like, Mom, could you make me a couple pieces of toast? Or Mom, like, what cereal do we have? It's the general, I'm hungry, please solve my problem. That doesn't feel so good to me. And then the fact that it was from the recliner with their feet up was like, nope, we are setting a boundary. So that's the arbitrary rule in Sarah's house. You may not make breakfast requests from the ugly chair, and it has to be specific. But we did get some other breakfast house rules from listeners.
Okay. I want to share one of those, but I just want to tell you that, like, just that almost triggered something in me. You saying, like, the I'm hungry, but not having a specific request.
Yeah.
As kids get older, I think that gets worse and worse. Like, so that is something that my kids have not gotten better at with time. In fact, I think it gets worse until they're like old enough teenagers that they just take the bull by the horns and do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just in solidarity, like, there's nothing worse than a 12-year-old who, like, you sit there and you give them 17 options and they don't really want any of them. Like, right. It's so maddening. And sometimes very decisive little kids will not be able to decide.
Yes, it's like they expect that you are in their head and you know what they want. And, like, please solve this problem of indecision for me. It's like, right. No, I cannot.
Yeah. Yes. Well, along those lines, one of my favorite from our community, one of the favorite tips that came in was Ariel, who said, there are only two options for cereal at a time. I love that, because I used to be very much a cereal purchaser. I'm not so much anymore, but I used to be someone who would buy multiple kinds of cereal just to make sure all potential cereal needs were covered. And then the kids would sit there again, like the turtle on psychedelics, like staring at the array of cereals, being like, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. So if you just give them two options, it's either, what were those, peanut butter bumpers or Chex, you know, rice Chex, whatever. It's only Honey Bunches of Oats or life. Special K. It's yeah. only one or the other. If they only have two, it's amazing how quickly they can decide.
Yep. I love that too. Speaking of cereal, Amber said in their house, they do Cinnamon Toast Crunch Fridays and try to eat a healthier breakfast the rest of the week. I forget what other episode, but this is like very, very much a page out of my book, which is treats and asking for treaty cereal, as my kids would call it, treaty cereal. It's like a trigger for me to always be negotiating and asking for it. So I'm just a big fan of something that feels celebratory because they, yay, it's yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch Friday.
And you made it.
Also, you don't have to have the conversation Monday through Thursday. So yeah. I love that. And then we had a lot of continued either decide the night before, decide the weekend before, or prep the night before. So it's grab and go. So just yeah. a continuation for breakfast on that, like, do yourself a favor and figure it out before 7 a.m. General theme. So
Sarah, would treaty cereal be something one would eat in bed while signing treaties?
Yes.
With yes. their quill pen? Because now I'm like really into this idea of doing a lot of business in bed. Like I feel
you
like
you do a lot of business in bed.
I do, already. But no one brings me anything. That's the missing piece. I need to be lying in bed with my oak lap desk at the ready, and then my servants need to come in and bring me my treaty cereal, and my assistants need to bring me treaties.
Okay.
And an oil lamp.
I mean, well, not to get too personal here, but you have been sharing more about your special man friend. So I presume that on some mornings there's actually like another adult who can bring you, I don't know, hot tea or
He's too into his own. He's very regimented in the mornings. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
No. He'll make my tea, but I think that having him serve it to me would feel like like indulging my laziness way too much. I don't know. Maybe I could get him there. I don't know. He's like up at him, like out the door, like up by 6:45 kind of person. So I would almost feel bad doing that.
Yeah. But. Okay. Well, you're compatible in many other ways. So we'll just let that
no,
one go.
I just need an assistant. I just need a chambermaid.
Yes.
It's no big deal. Just need a chambermaid.
No biggie. Just need to travel back in time a few hundred
I need a ladies
years.
Maid, right? Wouldn't that be the person who dresses me and stuff?
Yes. Your aunt, your Anna.
Yes, my Anna.
I've lost all
of
my
doubt. And I'll confide in her all of my gossips and things like that as well. Okay, we're getting way off track here, but you see what we're going for here, right?
Yes. It turns out we can be really productive if handed our permission slips on a platter. Okay. Well, let's finish this up by talking about physically getting out the door. And we did get a lot of great house rules about how to, like, you know, that final push, right? Just like you described with yeah. the socks and it seems like everything's going well. And then magically there are tears and meltdowns and things that need to happen. So I have to shout out our friend Kelsey from the Girl Next Door podcast, Kelsey Wharton, who the way she wrote this was so funny, but you cannot start a project, ask for something to eat, ask me about something controversial, like, can we play Minecraft today? Can we have ice cream tonight? After we start putting shoes on to walk out the door, she said, why do they wait until the very last minute to ask about these things? So now they know that any requests are non-starters at that time. So once the shoes are on, we're not talking about anything except getting out the door. And I can relate to that one.
I can so relate to that. And I so wish that as a younger mom, I had actually made that a rule and not just a reaction. So
yeah. This
is like a totally separate conversation we could have at some point, Sarah. But one of the things that I'm learning from all y'all moms while doing these episodes is how powerful a rule can be in giving you control and not make it feel like you're constantly reacting to the same triggers over and yes. over. And so that would always be a big one for me. Like, no, I'm not answering those questions. And I think it would often come down to me saying things like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you seriously bringing this up right now? Or don't you see that we're on our way out the door? Or like me kind of expecting kids to put themselves in my shoes.
Yeah.
And they can't do that. They're children. No, they're not capable. They're not capable of doing that. But then I was like reacting to them on their level as though they were capable of like reading my mind or I was capable of reading theirs. And like really, the rule would have fixed it. So saying like, no, there will be no projects. No, there will be no asking something controversial. We're not changing any rules. We're not going to like come up with a new plan for anything. We're not doing anything besides what we have to do.
Right.
But I never made it a rule. I wish I had.
Yes.
Yeah, I
totally agree. Well, how about Katie, who says, well, she has these are two separate rules and they're both great. One is more of that they repeat the mantra, shoes, mask, water bottle, shoes, mask, water bottle, 1,000 times. She says when the lights get turned off, it's time for potty and getting out the door. So again, those small visual triggers that, like, if you do things, this is a very preschool age thing. Because in preschool classrooms, they're just very ritualistic, and kindergarten classrooms. So if you can build those soft routine markers into your morning, I think it's really helpful for kids. But the best part is, she said, also, we don't ask mommy questions when she's backing out of the driveway.
Okay, so honestly, that is another one on my list of things that I wish I had made a rule, but I think was more of a reaction. Like, I'd be like, stop talking to me. I'm backing out. I can only concentrate. It's kind of like the rule that my kids learned pretty fast, that they could never have an interior light on in the car after dark. Oh, like if we were driving down the highway and if they wanted to like have a light on to read, I would always say no, because I can't really see the highway. And I got that from my parents. They would always say,
I got that from my parents too.
Yeah, yes. We can't see that. That's old person eyes. And I was like, well, even when I was 30, I was already seeing how hard it is to distinguish between what's happening inside your car and outside of your car if the light's on. So they just knew not to ask. And if I had said, like Katie, we don't ask mommy questions when she's backing out of the driveway, I think it just would have been filed away in that same category. Instead, I feel like it was always me being irritable. Like, guys, I'm really trying to look. I can't, if you're talking to me, I can't see. I'm going to run someone over. And it was an irritation, an agitation on my part, and a reaction that I maybe could have saved. I could have spared myself.
Yeah. So this backing out of the driveway thing is making me realize that we have a lot of listeners doing the school bus thing. And my kids have never taken a school bus to school. We've always had driving or carpooling, but they're going in a car with somebody. But you did a lot of walking to school and buses. So do you have any memories from the way back time machine, Megan, about getting kids out the door when it was, because I would imagine like bus stop time, it doesn't wait for like,
it waits for no man.
Socks.
Waits for no man
no
or child.
Here's
the thing about bus times, here's what I love about my kids taking the bus and why I'm actually kind of hoping to get Clara back on the bus this year, is because kids learn pretty quick when a bus driver is not going to wait for them, and they will rise to the occasion if they know there's no. Now, that's not to say they've never missed the bus. Of course, they all have missed the bus a time or two. But the consequences are much harder on them and much more noticeable than if it's like every day mom's nagging because they're 1 or 2 minutes late, but still they end up getting to school without much disruption to their routine. If they miss the bus, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I have actually found bus riding to solve problems sometimes. When I say that most of my kids are pretty good at getting themselves out the door in the morning, those are the ones who got used to riding the bus. Mm-hmm. The bus doesn't wait. And so they figure it out, because who wants to be the kid who's coming into school? And I would even say, like, if you miss the bus, now you're at the back of the line. I'm not going to like overextend myself to get you to school on time at the expense of, you know, other people's schedules or something I have to get done, or someone, you know, the walker or the one who I have to drive because they live too close for the bus or whatever.
Right.
You get literally demerited. Like, you're down the line and you might end up at school 20 minutes late. And kids don't want that. They don't really mind being 1 or 2 minutes late, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to be consistently 20 minutes late. So I find the bus to be actually a great motivator. It's kind of like that external rule that you don't even have to make.
Yes.
You're not the bad guy. It's just the bus.
It's just the time the bus leaves. Yeah. And there's less gray area about what it means to leave the house. Like in my family, we have this acronym AIS, which means your rear end in the seat, but a different word. And it's like, that's the time that your butt needs to be in the seat of the car backing out. We use it not just for school, but we use it for like everything that we're leaving for, because the time we leave, using giant air quotes, is like, well, is that the time you're putting your shoes on and using the bathroom? Is that the time where you're looking for your permission slip that maybe mom didn't sign because you brought it to her too late? But like, you have to be really clear. So a bus time is very, very clear. You know what's happening. If the bus time is 7:47, like, you know what's happening at that time. And I think it can be a lot harder to like agree on a definition of what time we leave the house when it's you and your minivan and your kids and, you know, it's whatever, 7:50-ish. And then all of a sudden everyone's yelling. So, yeah, I like that.
Well, and a lot of, and I truly believe that people who are chronically late, it's, you know, people get a bad rap for being disrespectful or procrastinating. And I actually think what it is an, for me, at least when I've been in chronically late periods of my life, it's an over-optimism about how much I can fit into 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. or like me having an incomplete idea of what it takes to get the job done. So like, yeah. I think because I can, you know, be dressed and ready to go at 7:50, that means I'm in the car going at 7:50. And I forget that it takes another minute and a half to get in the car, start the car, back out of my driveway, you know, maybe run back in for my purse if I forgot or whatever, like whatever the thing is. And so there's like just not giving yourself enough margin, which really has nothing to do with it's just like it's poor planning, but it's more poor planning on like a minute by minute detail level and not so much like the big picture level. Right.
It's not
and
like I don't you always, overslept. It's just, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like losing track. So that actually sets me up perfectly for the last rule I'm going to share from Ashlyn. And this is like mom after my own heart, because she said, and I have the exact same memory of my kids at this exact age. So she says, my kids are 3 and 5. And this is exactly when I figured that, like, that's exactly the age I figured this out. She said, I've actually found the less time I have in the morning before daycare and school, the better. When I'm too ahead of schedule, they start playing and don't want to leave when it's time. And I would suggest, or I would say that I would also start getting overconfident and start wasting time or like being a little leisurely about things if I was too far ahead of the eight ball. So she says, I get myself breakfast and lunches fully prepared before waking them up, straight to dressing, eating, hair and teeth, then out the door, leaving no time for procrastinating. And I think, I mean, this also depends on what time your kids naturally get up and how motivated they are in the morning. But I think it's important to keep in mind that at certain ages, your kids are not an asset in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, they're a drain. They are drawing from your energy and productivity and ability to get things done. So I always felt like the less time they were part of the whole picture, the better.
Yes.
Like, the less they had to do with anything in the morning, you know, the faster it all came together.
Right.
Sometimes they'd be like kind of sitting in the back of the car looking a little dazed, like, how did I get here?
How did I get here?
But that meant I could get everything done that I needed to get done and not worry about the procrastination. So I really feel like sometimes there's this idea, if you just get them up super early, it's going to like work out better because then they'll have plenty of time. And I would argue that sometimes you don't want them to have more time because then they're like draining your time.
Yes, I totally agree. And I had very early risers, and often one of our biggest pain points was the kids having too much time and then having to figure out like, okay, well, before you can play, you've got to do this, or like, oh, now you're over doing Legos, but did you brush your teeth? And it's like, it's having white space between those must do's is not always an asset, as you said. So I agree. But from the other end, where I've never really had that ability to let my kids sleep because they're always up. So that's a good one. Okay. Well, we got a lot of great ideas. I love this. I'm excited because on Friday this week, it's our Voices interview episode for September. And we're going to be talking with two of our new contributors on the blog side, but they're going to be popping over to the podcast. Ashley is a mom of two, and one of her kids has pretty significant special needs that require her help in the morning. She's also a full-time kindergarten teacher. So two little kids, one with special needs, and heading in to face a classroom full of kinders. We're going to be talking to her about their morning routine in their family, as well as Lisa, who is a single mom, full-time working single mom with 4 kids. So I think the idea here is just to get a peek in the life of other people's mornings. So we're going to keep talking about this idea of the morning hustle. Maybe we'll get some more house rules from Ashley and Lisa, and certainly kind of get a peek at what it's like with, you know, different families that look different ways in the morning.
I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to that and listening to that. And again, just thanks to our community for having these amazing ideas. You all are so clever and resourceful and so much ingenuity. Is this one of those words I don't know how to pronounce?
I think ingenuity. I'm going to go with that.
And ingenue would be like the girl in like a theater show who's like young and kind of dumb. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, that's a conversation for another day. My inability to decide if I want to use like the Michigan accent or some made up classy accent that probably isn't. But either way, we will talk to you all soon.
We'll talk to you soon.